We're going to continue preaching this morning in the book of Joshua chapter 8. We come over this somewhat, just quoted this passage of Scripture, but we haven't went into it in detail, and we were saving this till the end. I felt this is the direction God would have us go. This is about message 23, I think, on this series. And I'm going to preach, and I know this is going to seem odd, but I'm going to preach under the title, and I'll not get far in this today. Got a lot of ground, a lot of material, places to go. Would you please give me your attention? Would you please reverence the Spirit of God? Don't be Google-eyeing your neighbor. Don't be talking about what you're going to do if you get to go home. Don't be doing all these things that would distract. Now, somebody might say, preacher, you're getting a little hard. Well, actions, you ever hear the old saying, action speaks much louder than words? There's been quite a few of you that's been much harder than I have. That may seem hard, but I'm doing my best. God help me. Folks, I spent about 4 hours straight. The old flesh would start going like this, and I'd rub my eyes, slap my face, and say, in the name of Jesus, you're going to pray on, you're going to study on. About 4 hours straight. And this was just last night. And boy, the Lord has taken me to some places. Brother Arliss in this, I don't know, I may have to go another month in this, but if I do, you can stand it. I'm ready if you can stand it. I believe this is probably the most important part of the message in the series the Lord's preached through me to you, to whoever may hear this. Folks, it's not anything about me at all, but it's all about Him. Now, I'm enthused. I'm excited. I know we're living in troubled times. Listen, there's hardly anyone, Sister Pamela, that's being exempt from problems. But you think you've really got problems? Listen to what Sister Pamela turned in a prayer request this morning. Little 10-year-old girl, the family's going on vacation, had a wreck and killed that girl. And a 21-year-old sister that's in that wreck in a coma. Thinks she's brain dead. Going to take a miracle from God. Folks, we don't have any problems. We don't have any problems. I'm not telling you that you didn't walk out and you had a flat, or your cow got at and ate the corn, or your dog got run over, your neighbor gave you a bad talking to. I'm not telling you you don't experience some of these things. But if we can't overcome the little things in our life, how are we ever, Brother Arliss Burt's going to stand when the real trials come and the real battles come? The Word of God says if you've run with footmen, they've wearied us. The things I've had to contend with has only been a foot battle. There's a coming a time there'll be battles that we'll contend with horses. How are we going to do it? We'll never do it if we can't overcome the little things in our life. If in a land of peace you've been troubled, what are we going to do when we come to the swelling of Jordan? Brother Arliss, I believe it's there. It's right around the bend. How are we going to stand, folks, if we're not able to stand in the little dilemmas and the trials? I'm not trying to say the things you're going through is little. Sometimes a molehill in my life could be a great mountain to you, or vice versa. But I'm telling you, folks, we haven't seen anything yet. I believe that. We haven't seen anything yet. So we need to give God our all. I can see us letting down here at White Oak. And it scares me, Brother Arliss. I really don't. I'm not one of those preachers. And this is one of the things I believe the church, as a rule, needs to get victory over. Everything's a blessing. It could be, but it very well could not be. Many things that are called blessings are a curse. Could I say that again? Many things that some of you have called blessings in your life has been a curse. And we have to know the difference. We'll never know it except through the Spirit. We must know the difference. In the book of Joshua chapter 8, if you'll help us, I'll do my best. I don't have a clue what time it is, but I'll tell you this. When I feel like the anointing lifts, I'll stop. And I'll pray, God, if the folks can't retain no more than 30 minutes of this, let the anointing stop in 30 minutes. And I'll do my best to stop. If we can't, if we can retain 45, then I hope I can preach 45. When the anointing stops, I want to stop, all right? I don't want to rattle, don't want to linger. Sometimes I do that, and maybe you ought to try it and see how good you do. It ain't always easy. Sometimes I do that. Joshua chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in verse, I tell you what, I'm going to back up and read verse number 30, and just read down through this. Joshua chapter 8, verse number 30, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stone over which no man hath lift up any iron. In other words, get man's ability out of it. Let it be something that God's done. Needs to be whole. We don't cut it and shape it and make it the way we want it. No iron, no man-made material in it. All this is God. And they offered their own burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders, listen to this, and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priest, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger. Now I want you to get this. As well the stranger as he that was born among them. Not that he was, but as he that was born among them. Talking to this stranger. They're worshiping. Half of them over against Mount. Hey, say that word. Gerizim. And half of them over against Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were, how you say that word? Conversant among them or there. You can be seated. Want to preach a little while. The Lord be our helper. It'll take me a few moments to set the foundation of this, please. Give ear to this. This is not going to be a real easy message probably to preach. Most folks don't want to hear about how that we could be wrong in claiming blessings that aren't really our blessings. But I want to preach to you just a while this morning under the title, I Have Victory Over the Blessing and the Cursing. Now everybody wants to think that we have the victory over the cursing. But I can tell you, friend, the majority of the people today do not have the victory over the blessing. Now there's something God has placed in this, I believe. Never heard nobody preach this, never read this in the commentary. God began to implant this in my spirit as I begin to, in prayer, pray and study God's Word. Many times, folks, now I want you to notice, the first time that blessing was mentioned was in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse number 22. God had begun to, this is the fifth day God had worked, and He's divided the waters from above to beneath. He had made the animals of the things of the whales in the sea, the fish and the fowls of the air. And the Bible says in verse number 22, and the Lord blessed them and said to them to multiply. A And you go on over after that God had made man in His own image. And He said, now listen, folks, this is one of the things. I don't fully understand the entire deity of Christ, and I don't believe no one else does. I believe it'll take eternity, Sister Gail, before we fully understand the deity of Christ and fully understand the Godhead. I believe in the Trinity. I don't know how it all is, but I believe in it because He stated here that God spoke. I don't know. I've got a sneaky suspicion that it's Jesus right there in the bosom of the Father. And the Bible says that He said, let us. I'm not a smart individual, but I believe I'm smart enough to know that if I'm talking to you and you say, well, let us come on over, it's going to be more than one party coming. Let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. Now, our means it had been in my likeness if it had only been one. But He's making man different than everything else that He'd made. And listen, when God had finished this, Brother Fred, the Bible says that God blessed them, and in that He said to them, for you to replenish, and I've given you dominion over everything that I've made, whether it be in the elements of the fowls that fly in the air, whether it be the beast of the field or in the depth of the sea. God said, I've given you dominion over all that. And I thought, as God began to bless them, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that there was a blessing long before there was ever a curse. God pronounced the first blessing. And could I say that there would never be a blessing except it be pronounced of God? Could I tell you this morning that if you're waiting for the first church of the deadhead to pronounce that blessing on you, if it comes, it will not be a victory over the blessing. Listen, folks, God gave them dominion. God gave them power. And God pronounced that blessing, Brother Arliss. But here's the sad part and the sad story of this. If you look on over, if this all happened, sir, in chapter 1, if you look on over in chapter 3, you will find the saddest thing that you could ever deal with or reckon with or bring into soberness of thought that we see of the serpent beguiling Eve. And the Bible says, here's the first curse that was pronounced, sir. And it didn't stop there. The serpent had beguiled Eve. How'd he do it? He done it through this book. He done it through the Word of God. Eve was well learned enough in what God had said. She quoted to the devil, but then the devil turned around. And it wasn't the devil as you'd seen with a long tail, a pitchfork, and horns and fiery eyes. I can tell you, she talked to this serpent before, but this serpent is being used of the devil. There's many people today that one time they had it right, and one time the devil knew this word as well as Eve, if not better. But Eve rehearsed what God said, and the devil said, he just simply added one thing to it, and he said, thou shalt not surely die. Oh, but God knows that the day that, see, God said to Eve, and Eve knew this. This had been rehearsed. You see, God walked with Adam and Eve, and He talked with them. He didn't just come and walk through and never say nothing. He communed with them. And in that garden, as God communed with them, God told them what they could and what they couldn't do. Do you know there's a whole lot more things that we can than there is that we can't? Until the curse came, folks, God just simply said, and Eve rehearsed it to the serpent and said, God said, all the trees. That means there's many. Brother Fred, there's a lot of blessings in this garden. But God said, all the trees that are in the garden you can eat of, but the one that's in the midst, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God said, not to eat of it, neither touch it. For in the day you do, thou shalt surely die. Eve is a preaching. But the carnal blessings of the slick willy that is influenced by the devil. Listen, folks. Paul said if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. I've seen, do you not believe that Eve was one of God's elect? God made her in His likeness, in His image. She knew no wrong. Adam knew no wrong. All they knew was the blessing of God. God said, I bless you. And what God blesses is blessed. But what happened? What causes the blessings of God to not be, Brother Ron, as they ought to be, is when we begin to listen, give ear to the devil. And the first thing you know, the devil will always, I can tell you folks, he'll never tell you. He didn't tell Eve, when you eat of it, it's just like God said, you'll die. He said, God knows you'll be as He is. Your eyes will be open. Well, He didn't lie in all of it. Her eyes was open. The very instant she took of it, gave to her husband, the Bible says the eyes of them both were open. And the moment their eyes was open, they realized for the first time in their life, hey, something's wrong. Brother Arliss, something's wrong. I wonder, Brother Fred, if the church would pray and God would open their eyes. I wonder how many of us today could say, God, something's wrong. The relationship, it isn't what it used to be. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter what the first church of the deadhead said of the blessed. You got to have victory over the blessing. How do you keep the victory over the blessing? It's when you keep the Word of God pure. When you keep the Word of God true. When you let it become a part of you, it's not just something you're hearing, but it becomes your life. It becomes your all in all. It's your bread. It's your drink of water. It's your physician. It's your counselor. It's everything you need. Sister Helen, it's your friend when you feel lonely. It's your counselor when you need counsel from God. When it becomes that part of you, I can tell you, friend, the devil cannot. This is victory over the blessing. This is victory over the blessing. Now don't nobody jump to conclusion. I am blessed. Listen to this. The old song. I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Every day that you live, you are blessed. When you wake up in the morning, till you lay your head to rest, you are blessed. You are blessed. You know how we're blessed? I'm not talking about material blessings. Folks, where I live, most folks wouldn't live there if you give it to them and paid them to stay there. But I'll tell you, I'm blessed. Brother Gary, I'm not talking about the materialistic things. I'm talking about being blessed that I woke up with a mind to serve Christ. Being blessed to know that when I fall short, Brother Ron, of the glory of God, that I don't listen. I can tell you there's a religion out there that'll fit every situation you're in. But if you listen to it, you'll wind up in the same place Adam and Eve was. Now, I'm not where they were, I can tell you that. And it'll take some time to get to this. But the reason, Paul said in the book of Galatians, that Christ hath redeemed us, that He's brought us back from the curse of the law, of the fall in the garden. But listen, folks, we got to know enough to have victory over the blessing in the day and hour that we live. So many churches, and I've stated this before, you hear folks that'll say, when you ask them, and you know, they're just as far from God as they can be. And you'll say, well, how are you? And they'll say, well, I'm highly favored and honored of God, or blessed of God. They're no more highly favored. Now the blessings, I'll say, It's only by the blessings of God the devil hadn't killed them. But they're not highly favored. Let me tell you who God highly favors. Those that when He has put that word inside of them, they let not no devil in hell change that word. You put one knot in that, and you could very well be in the place. Adam and Eve, things are different. Their eyes are open. That devil said, in the day you eat of it, thou shalt not surely die. But God knows that when you eat of this tree, you'll become as gods. Not God, but gods. You'll become as gods. I can tell you, He knew there's only one God. But now He's adding to this thing. You'll become as gods. And your eyes will be open to know good from evil. I can tell you, folks, when they saw they were naked, what made them naked? God came to them in the cool of that day, and He knew. You see, the sad part is, God knew exactly where they were. Now the bread, before He ever went, He knew what they'd done. But we'd be a puppet on a string if God kept us from everything. Sometimes we got to keep ourselves. You know what the half-brother of Jesus said in the book of Jude, that little chapter, Jude, one chapter, he said, keep thyself in the love of God. I can tell you, folks, there's a responsibility. Brother Fred, in every born-again believer's lives, if you're going to have victory over the blessings or the cursings, there's a responsibility. What is it, preacher? This book that's been implanted in your heart, you've got to guard it with all diligence. You've got to be excited. You've got to be stirred and believe that it is the inspired Word of God. You got to believe it. Oh, I know the Lord saved me. I know the Lord could heal me. If you was eating dinner and I was coming where you was eating and you had the expression of eating like that, I wouldn't eat nothing you had on that table. I'd be afraid I'd die the first bite. And we wonder why today we can't get new converts in the church, Brother Harless. You can talk about the blessings all you want. And I can tell you, that Paul said to those at Athens, he said, Bill, for happy you might find him, for he be not far from everyone. I can tell you, there's a spiritual feeler being stuck out. And the world knows beyond most others whether it's the real genuine blessings of the Lord. If we don't have the victory over the blessing, if you don't have the Word of God and walk in it with every dot, every tittle, every T crossed, the way God said, I tell you, you don't have the victory over the blessings. Now you see, Adam and Eve, their eyes, the Bible says that their eyes were both opened, and they saw they were naked for the first time in their life. Things are different than it's ever been before. Brother Harless, as I seen this, it just began to break my spirit inside. Things are different in the church age, Brother Fred, than it's ever been before. Things are different than it's ever been before. We're competing against a blessing without the victory of God. And folks, you can't have it. I'm telling you, you cannot have the blessings of the Lord. David said, the blessings of the Lord maketh richer. Solomon said this, and added no sorrows therewith. Listen, folks, the blessings of the Lord is what makes us rich. Doesn't mean troubles won't come, but it simply means those blessings by far outweigh the bad that comes, and you'll never know it. It's like the tree that Isaiah said, a man that's founded upon the things of God, he won't know when the drought comes. Why? He's like that tree planted by the river. He's getting a substance that nobody else knows about. Drought doesn't affect that individual. Drought doesn't affect that individual. Their eyes were opened. And they were afraid. Folks, I can tell you this. The sin being revealed in our life ought to make us much afraid. It ought to make us much afraid. It ought to make us much terrified. They went and hid themselves from the very source. Who told them to do that? The devil told them to do that. You better flee from the presence of God. Listen, folks, here's what's happening in churches today. We become informalities and rituals simply because we've lost the goods. We've lost the goods. And then someone will come by with something, I'm highly favored and blessed of God. That's true to the one I'll not get to it today. You come by. Lord, been my helper Wednesday night. We're going to preach on it next weekend. I apologize. I ain't getting a lot of preachers to preach, but probably next Sunday and Sunday night, I'll be preaching on this again. I'm going to take you into the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to show you the very same thing that brought the blessings was the very same thing, if neglected, brought the cursing. The same blessing that come will come the same way you reverse. You reverse something. Somebody says, well, how do I undo this? You go back and go exactly opposite of what you've done. And that's how you undo it. And listen, Brother Arliss, as I began to look at this and I thought, as God came in the cool of the day, and that was a time, there ought to be a set aside time designated that you give time to God. Only you and God knows when that time is, but God gets used to that. You know, I went to a man's house, I believe it was last year, and he told me, he said, I've been feeding the deer off my four-wheeler. And he said, I want you to go with me. And he said, about 4 o'clock, he gets off work at 3:30. He said, I go out to my cabin, and he said, I'll go up there and I get a bucket, and I get corn in it. And he said, when I start that four-wheeler, he said, I want you to watch this. He said, them deer are standing in the brush right outside the power line, and it's probably a couple of hundred yards away from where his cabin is, a little outbuilding. And he and I thought, now, there ain't no way this is going to happen. This is wild animals. But he said, I fed them, and he said, they know the time I'm going to be there. They don't have a Timex, sir, but they know the time that he's going to be there. Brother Arliss, I went with him. He said, unless your presence being here does anything different, said, you just watch this. He said, when I cranked the four-wheeler, you look down that power line. He got in that little shed. He's already got the corn, and he cranked that four-wheeler, backed it out. I sat on the back, and the second he backed that four-wheeler out, there was 5 or 6 deer jumped out in that power line. And they're standing looking straight up the way we were. And as we went down there, they kind of looked me over. They wasn't used to me. And he got out, and 10 yards away, threw that corn out. And them deer would come and start eating it while he was standing there. They knew he'd been faithful to come. Listen, folks, I said that for this reason. If the nature of a wild animal could instinct show them, there's a time God said it's set aside for his people, for us to worship, Brother Arliss, for us to give time to nothing else other than the things of God. And now, the Bible said in the cool of the day, that tells me it's the same time God came the day before, and the day before that, and the day before that. But when he come this day, he's coming to commune with them, to feed them, if you will, to strengthen them, to draw praise from them. And he said he knew where they were, but they were hid. They had fled. Why? Because things is different in their life today. They didn't have victory over the blessing God give them dominion over. You see, God said, I blessed you. He said it directly to them. And I've given you dominion over all. They had dominion over that serpent, just as you and I have dominion over that slew foot today. But they didn't take that dominion because they look. Folks, why would we look for an easier way? You just tell me, why would we look for an easier way? I can tell you this. I'm not an eloquent speaker. And I'm not an educated man at all. And I would be in fear from right to left if I thought I was getting up preaching in myself. Brother Arliss, it takes the anointing to destroy. There has to be things destroyed before we're able. Now, if you're preaching nothing other than the blessings, the enemy ain't fighting you. Now, I'm not telling you, I know you'll be blessed if you give into the work of God. And I can tell you it's not finances. I can give finances a whole lot more than I can give of myself. But that ain't what impresses God. God's wanting you and you and you and you. He's wanting us. And now, when he finds out that time that we have set aside just for God, as we call it, God time. It's time to worship. It's time to pray. It's time to meditate. We're not going to do anything else. And many of us are falling short of that. That used to be, I can tell you folks, I can remember when I first started preaching that I was so hungry for the things of God, and I let that begin to slip away. Apostle Paul said, we ought to give the more earnest heed. I believe in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, maybe. He said, we ought to therefore give the more earnest heed. You know why he added that therefore in? He's talking about a rebellious group of people in the chapter before, how that their carcasses fell in the wilderness through unbelief. They died, having not received the promise. We ought to therefore give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But the words spoken of angels were steadfast. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I can tell you folks, there'll be no other way out. The only way out is to hear the words and have victory over the promises of God. Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam? And every time before, never give a record of God calling for Adam. Adam's calling for God. Oh God, I want to be in your presence. Oh God, there's nothing else for me in this life but you. You give us ever, what a beautiful garden you've placed us in. You've given us dominion over all the beasts of the fields, the fowls of the air, over everything here on this planet. You give us dominion over. And Adam would call for God. That's the reason why you see no record, folks, that God had ever called for Adam before. Adam's calling for God. Why? He's his father. He's in life. He's the one breathed life into him, and he became a living soul. But when the false came in, it began to cause relationship to separate, and fear came in, and he saw his naked. And the Bible says that Adam said, I was afraid. For the first time in Adam's life, fear got a hold of him. I wish today, regardless, that our eyes would be opened enough, that fear would get a hold of us. A fear falling short. A fear missing heaven. Listen, folks, we can live in sin and still think we're all right. I would to God that God would open our eyes of the church today, that we could see sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. That we could see today, if we don't get the relationship right, we won't have victory over the blessing, neither over the cursing. Neither over the cursing. The way I feel in this message, folks, it may take me another month and a half to get through this. I've got from Genesis all the way down to the book of Galatians, actually into the book of Revelations. I've got some places in Revelation. I'm not going to take you to them right now. But I can tell you this, folks. There's very few today have the victory over the blessing. It sounds good, doesn't it? A few years ago, I forgot what they called that. It sounded stupid to me. But somebody had this idea that one of Diane's cousins got us even a little bit involved in it. I don't remember if it was some Amway thing or what it was, but you take milk and you put... I can't even remember. We was naive enough to do it. Thank God we forgot about it. Why? Because I didn't do nothing but lose money. And you do something, and this, they get some kind of cultures out of this, and I don't even remember what it was, but I'm telling you, they tell you stories about somebody that did this, and I mean, just after a little while, and everybody that you get hooked on it and started on it, then you get, I mean, it's a plus for you. It's kind of like this stuff where you just sell stuff, you know, but this was used in some medical field, seemed like, I can't remember. But anyway, it was one of them get-rich-quick gimmicks. I mean, tell you, this is back when we was in our 20s, these gray hair, I think I'd be a little harder to get caught up in that today. Number one, I ain't got time for it, and I ain't worried about getting rich anyhow. I ain't going to have time to spend it. I've only got a few days left. And the Lord's given me all I need, Brother Harless. And more than that, He's all we need. But listen, we got caught. I'm going to say I got caught up in that. I don't think Diane's for most of this stuff, but she just kind of go along. She's like most Christians today, don't want to go again what somebody else wants to do, you know. I ain't for it, but bless God, I just ain't going to say nothing about it. Let them do what they want to do. Well, if you ain't saying something about it, you're going along with it, and you're just as big a partaker as you can be. But anyway, it didn't work out. After a while, I got tired of growing these milk cultures. And that blessing, it didn't come like they said. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 28, he said that it'll overtake you. This blessing will overtake you. But he's talking about those that have walked in the commandments of God, that have feared God, that have kept His statutes and loved Him with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their mind. I dare to say today, most folks, listen, there's been a few times that I've loved God with everything that's within me. You hear what this old preacher's telling you this morning. But Brother Jack, most of the time I'm not loving God that way. I'd be a liar if I told you that I'm seeking Him above everything else. It'd show more if I was. Now I can tell you, most of these name it, claim it, blab it, grab it preachers, I pray God grab them by the nap of the neck, shake them till their false teeth fall out. Get a hold of them, God, and let them say they're leading folks to hell right and left, and folks are eating it up. Why? They don't have the victory over the blessing. Get one of these tapes and take it to them. I'll not change my mind. If we ain't walking in the commandments of God, we don't have the victory over the blessing. God began to implant this in my spirit. Now I'm trying to paint you a picture. Now I'm not even going to get to Joshua chapter 8 where I went to. But I'm trying to paint you a picture how that as long as Adam and Eve. Now I'll tell you something I see different. I've said before, well, Adam ought to know where his wife was. I can tell you, Adam was right there with her. You know how I know that? Because God opened my eyes and I saw in the scripture that it says that here all the time, maybe Adam's not for this, but all the time, they weren't a distance apart. He was there. All the time, when that devil's talking to Eve, she's quoting, oh, Adam, he may be saying, whoo, get him, Eve, get him. Let him know how it is. Tell him what that book says. But after a while, she's convinced, well, thou shalt not surely die. And begin to ponder things that are false. Listen, folks, we shouldn't even give our time to things that is not in the book. I mean, if God didn't say it, God said, for thou shalt not, that thou shalt not take of the tree, touch it or eat of it, for in the day you do, thou shalt die. We should never ponder a thought that's not in that book. We should keep our minds off of that. But I can tell you, the Bible says that Eve ate of the tree in the very same sentence and gave to her husband. She didn't take it down by the stream over the hill to east side of the garden and say, honey, look what I found. Brother Smith brought us some peaches and I'm telling you, I like the founder. I ate six at one setting. Now, these little peaches, by the way, they weren't big. They's little. And they'd have been about 2.5 good peaches, probably. But I thought, man, I don't know. It may be that I just hadn't had no peaches in a while. Now, Mar may not like them that way. But I hadn't had no peaches in a while. Now. And I'd bust one of them. They were cling free. I'd bust that thing open, one of them so ripe that when you bust it open, the juice run down to your elbow. When you're eating it, you got juice dripping off your chin. Now I'm telling you, it's so sweet. I thought, man, I got to have another one of them. I went and grabbed another one. I got to have another one. I just couldn't quit, Brother Arliss. I believe, folks, that if we really got enthused in the things of God as we should, how do you think that Eve convinced Adam that this thing you need to take, we ain't never eat nothing like it. It feels good. Come on. The first church of the deadheads concerned about what the physical is wanting and desired and not what God's saying needs to be said or done. God said don't touch it. Don't eat of it, you'll die when you do. But Eve said, honey, we ain't never experienced nothing like this. And she gave to her husband. And the eyes of them both were opened. Now, the story goes downhill. The high of having that pink Cadillac, naming it and claiming it. Dressing like the devil, talking like the devil, hating, having adultery in your life, fornicating, lying, cheating, thieving, drinking, and the preacher's never said that's wrong. Wronging everybody you can, the preacher's never said that's wrong. All you got, boy, just taste of this blessing. Woo, ain't it good? But when our eyes are finally opened, I pray, Brother Arliss, God open the eyes. God open the eyes of the church today. And they realize we're without relationship any longer. The feel good doesn't matter. That old tree, do you think they stopped eating from that tree? No, sir. No, ma'am. But reality had aroused them to realize their eyes is open. Now they know the difference between good and evil. Wouldn't it be great? I told somebody one time, I said, listen, it'd be much better that you never taste of the world. But sooner or later, you're going to taste of some of the things of the world. Some folks have went so deep into it that it's hard to ever get that world out of them. And I say, God, I know I may have been out in the world and tasted of the world, but God, I pray if you'll open my eyes and help me to see. I won't fear reverently enough to know that God, I can't stand in your presence holy without being holy. Brother Harless, I can't stand in the presence of a holy God and preach, folks, you can't eat of the tree of the world and not be holy. I can't do it. Now there's preachers today that'll preach to you. There ain't nothing wrong with nothing. I mean, everything you go to do, they'll sidestep. But I can tell you, folks, motivational preachers or speakers are not going to get folks to heaven. I can tell you this, in the end, there'll be a lot that's going to stand and somebody is going to say, your blood, my blood, or the blood of my father, the blood of my brother, the blood of my wife, my husband, my children, preachers up on your hands because you failed to warn them. I'm not saying these preachers don't say some good, but I'm saying they don't stand for what's right. Folks, if I know it to be right, I got to stand to have victory over the blessing and the cursing. Let me hurry. I'm coming to a close. In that garden, God knew very well where they's at. But you know, I called out twice to him. The first time, the fear overwhelmed Adam. Adam! And Adam shaking said, oh God, Eve, what have we done? It's not like it was yesterday. What have we done? We've been introduced to something that'll possibly plague us. It'll be a curse to us. The days of our life and our children's life. What have we done? And God called out again, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I was afraid, I was naked, and I hid myself. And God knew very well what he'd done. But he said, Adam, who told you you're naked? Have you eaten the tree that I told you not? Now God said this for a reason. If we confess our faults, he's just and faithful to forgive us. Listen, there wasn't forgiveness in Adam's day as there is in our day. Did you know God shed the first blood that was ever recorded in the Word of God? That God killed that animal and made skins for them. And then the blood is shed from animals to take their sins ahead. Never was forgiven, but to take them ahead. But thank God there was blood shed from the guiltless. He didn't have any sin. But Arliss, and he became a supreme sacrifice once and for all. Amen. Where art thou, Adam? God, I'm sorry, I've eaten from the tree. of eat from the tree. Listen, when you eat from it once, it'll be easier to eat the next time. And it'll be easier to eat the next time. And then there'll come a time that all these smooth-talking preachers that won't... I tell you, folks, I stated here a while back, I'm against preachers, and I am. I'm against preachers that's not pastors, Brother Arliss, but they're harlings. Those that won't have a preacher or pastor or evangelist heart to preach the true Word of God. I'm against them. And listen, folks, that's the reason. They're not preaching conviction. They're not preaching sin. Separation from relationship. It doesn't make no difference how good it feels. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Do you know what got James or John the Baptist's head cut off? He said, it ain't lawful for you to have your brother's wife, Herod. Boy, I don't like that. Herod, I don't know why it is most of the women get more riled than the men. Herod said, I'll teach that boy. He thinks he can talk to me like that, even though I can fornicate all I want. I can have whoever's husband I want. And religion, go get him. Had her daughter to dance before Herod and have this to happen. Lies. Falsehood. Does that sound like the false church? And the lust of the flesh overwhelmed him. And I'll give you your heart's desire as much as half of my kingdom. Flesh. Lust. John the Baptist still saying, I don't care if they do take my head. It ain't lawful. Is it sin or not? I preached for a month on that. Is it sin or not? I'm not changing my mind. Are you? If you change your mind, you can live. If I don't change my mind, they say I'm going to die. But if I die for Him, I'll live forever. I ain't a changing my mind. It's what John simply saying. Listen, folks, if it ever was, it still is today. And we need to take a stand. God's trying to wake up the church to reality and let us see that we're hiding from the presence of God through the form of religion. And bless me, bless me, bless me. And what's sad, I can expect it out of little whippersnappers. But when them 85, 90-year-old grandmas start falling for it. My God. My God. And we're doing it simply because we've got little Joe and little Lynn, little Johnny and little Susie. Well, we got to try to help them. You know, you ain't helping them. No, sir. No, sir. You're bringing the curse effect in their life. The curse was nailed to the tree, but you're bringing it to their life. And folks, if we can't wake up, White Oak's got to get out of religion. The church down the road's got to get out of religion. You hear this preacher, before the year's up, you'll get in or out. You'll get in or out. We're either going to have to get in or we're going to have to get out. We'll get offended at the preaching and say it's a hard saying. And when I get through with this, I think I might preach a while on that. If the Lord don't come beforehand. That's going to be one of my love messages. Folks, if there ever was a time. Now this disturbed me last night as I be... The blessing, I could deal with that for hours. The blessing was pronounced long before the curse. I'm going to say hundreds of years. Somebody says, well, there's just two chapters involved there. Hundreds of years. The blessing was pronounced. The curse was not in the vocabulary until sin come about. In the book of Deuteronomy, coming to a close, somebody come get us a song. We're going to open these altars, but next service, I probably go back to Joshua. Didn't get to deal. There's a lot of things here. Didn't get to deal with. But before we're through, we're going to deal with Moses. One of his last messages being preached. This is the passage Joshua's rehearsing. Relationship starts with you and God. to how victory over the blessing starts with you and God. He's got to be above everything else. The curse starts when relationship begins to fall between you and God. Not between you and a spouse, or you and a neighbor, or you and the church, you and a job, but you and God. And if God said, I'll bless you in the city, I'll bless you in the field, which is them old country boys ain't left out. I'll bless the fruit of your basket. I'll bless the increase of thy kind. I'll bless your cattle. I'll bless, in other words, whatever you set your hands to, I'll bless. But if you look right on over in that chapter, he went on to say, if you don't stay in relationship, everything's reversed that God said he would do. And now he said you're going to be cursed if you live in the city. You're going to be cursed if you're in the field. You're going to be cursed in the country. I'll curse the fruit of your womb. I'll curse the basket of thy store. I'll curse you going, and I'll curse you coming if you don't walk in my commandments.
That's right.
Do you think America's worthy of a blessing? No, sir. Do you think the majority of the churches are worthy of a blessing? Folks, I may be the end time doomsday preacher, but bless God, as long as God lays this on my heart and will anoint me and help me and give me an insight of what's going on, I'll preach it or die. Brother Nathan, I believe that's where it's got to be. And a lot of us that most of the time enjoy it still don't hearken to it enough to walk where God wants us to walk. If I were to ask you by showing of hands, and I'm not going to, if you'd be honest, you probably wouldn't none raise your hands after me preaching because you don't know. Boy, he just got me all tore up. I don't know if I want a blessing or not. Well, if I were to ask you, how many of you would like to be blessed?
Yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, we'd throw both hands up and kick our feet there if you had any mind at all. I'd whole lot rather be blessed. But if I ask this question, how many want the victory over the blessing? Could we really be honest and raise our hand in that? It'll cost you everything to keep the victory over the blessing. Stand with us all over the building.